First Thessalonians chapter 4, we would like to look at verses 13 through verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I trust the Lord will take this portion of his word and our hearts might be blessed by it. And Michelle, welcome back to church. How long ago today was that Friday was that surgery? 4 weeks. Well, it's good to see her back, that major hip surgery. Good to have your family here today. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? We do thank you, Father, and praise you, even that we can have Michelle back today, and we thank you for the healing that has been taking place. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, even as Jonathan reminded us this morning in our Sunday school hour, these bodies, what a wonder. We realize, Lord, that we are fearfully, wonderfully made, and all the glory goes to you for the way that you have created in these bodies the ability to heal and in many instances repair themselves. We pray that Michelle would continue to be able to recover, and we trust that things are going to be so much improved in the weeks to come. We continue to pray for Benny as he recovers from the fall which he took last Sunday. We thank you that he has been able to be home for a few days. We continue to pray that, Lord, that healing would take place without any complications, setbacks. Continue to strengthen Ernestine as she cares for him. Their daughter Cindy is recovering in a rehab center and is in hopes to come home later on this week. May your will be done with that. We pray for Frank Kimberlin, one, Lord, who used to attend here faithfully but has gone through some difficult times. That major surgery yesterday and this morning, the concern having trouble breathing. We just pray, Lord, that you would guide the caregivers, and we pray that his recovery would go the way it's supposed to your glory. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to show yourself strong in behalf of these folks. We pray, Lord, that you would have the freedom to speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, guide me, direct me what to say, what not to say. And then as we look forward to gathering around the Lord's table, we pray that our hearts would be prepared and that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. We commit this time to you, Lord, with thankful hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. continue to pray for these folks as they do recover from these serious issues that they are going through. The portion of scripture which we read this morning has to do with the imminent, and that word imminent means it could happen at any moment, the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We often refer to that as the rapture, a word which is not in the Bible, but that is the occasion that we use that term rapture with. When it tells us, as we saw there in 1 Thessalonians, that the time is coming when the Lord will come himself, there's going to be a shout, there's going to be the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God will sound. How much time do we have before that trumpet sounds? How much time before the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel? Ever wonder how much time? Are there any clues? Are there any hints in the Bible to help us kind of get ourselves situated time-wise as far as when that imminent return will occur? I want us to think of some things this morning as our message is entitled, How Much Longer? And I want us to consider some things in Scripture that hopefully we can answer those couple of questions. Are there any clues? And have we been given any hints? To do that, I want you to turn with me, first of all, to what we're calling a prediction given. A prediction given. And for this, we're actually going to look at two passages of Scripture. One of them is Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37, 38, and 39 tell us this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 17, and we see Luke's rendition of this very same thought in verses 26 and 27. Luke 17, 26 and 27 says, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In both of these references, in Matthew and in Luke's gospel, you notice that there were the days of Noah were characterized by the fact that there was absolutely no interruption of life's routines. Nobody was looking for anything to happen. Nobody was expecting any calamity to occur. Life was going on as usual. We find that there was no indication that anyone believed the words that Noah evidently had been telling them. Where do you get that, you say? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Noah is referred to as a preacher of righteousness. I believe that was put in there to suggest to us that while Noah and his three sons were taking years and years and years in that building process, and as people, obviously, I mean, you don't have the record of it, but we know human nature. If someone is building something the size of the ark, and by the way, the modern picture of that just had its grand opening this week down in Kentucky. Can't wait to get down there to see it. In fact, a few months ago, the Franks and us, we were planning on meeting down there during this grand opening time, but it did not work out that way. But the Institute for Creation Research, is that it? Is that the right name? Answers in Genesis, there you go. The Answers in Genesis organization down in Kentucky, they have been working on this for a couple of years or more, and they are just celebrating the grand opening this week. Put that down on one of your bucket. Put it on your bucket list that you need to do that before you kick the bucket, to get down there to see that. So I can't wait to get down there because they have built it to scale. They have built it to scale. If I'm not mistaken, in the publication, it is the largest wooden building on the earth. Built to the scale that one man and his three sons, it took them perhaps 100 years or more to build it. During that time, people are going to be curious. People are going to be, hey, Noah, what are you doing? What is this for? I believe that's why Peter made reference to that. Noah, a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, when Peter made reference to that. Well, surely there would have been people that would have listened. Surely there would have been people that would have responded and would have said, man, if a tragedy like that is coming, we don't want to go through it. We want to be on your side. How can we be saved? But in both Matthew 24 and in Luke chapter 17, when the Lord gave that prediction, as it was in the days of Noah, society didn't have a clue. Not because of Noah's failure, but because they didn't want to pay attention, I'm convinced. And we find that no interruptions, everything was going on as though they had all the time in the world, as though there is nothing, that they married, they were given in marriage, they were carrying on just like life had always been. Well, you say, can we get a bit more specific regarding the days of Noah? What can we Can we search that out just a little bit more? Is there anything more that we could look at as it was in the days of Noah, other than what we see here in Matthew 24 and Luke 17? Well, of course we can. And how can we get, secondly, a look at the previous conditions? We go where? Go back to Genesis 6 and let's look at the time. Let's look at the days of Noah. Turn with me for the look at the previous condition as it was in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. We'll start at verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And Bible scholars believe that from the time this account is recorded here, it was 120 years before the flood actually came. God was saying, I'm going to give mankind 120 more years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. We really begin to get the picture of how things were in the days of Noah as we start at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Translation of what it means when it says it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord was sorry he had created man. That's the translation of it. If we didn't know anything else, and we couldn't discover anything else to answer our question, what was life like in the days of Noah? It was such that our Creator was sorry he had created us. Just let that soak in a little bit. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me. I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It talks about his family in verses 9 and 10. The name's his son. We pick up once again in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. My translation, or my footnote in that, uses the word wasting. The word was corrupt. Everything was just going to pot before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. As we're looking at the description of the previous conditions, let's see some of those specific conditions itemized here. In verse 5, do you notice it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. God saw. Thing that comes to my attention is the fact that what was happening was under the watchful eye of man's creator. God had created man to be what? In fellowship with him, worship him. That's what we see in the earlier chapters of Genesis. God created man perfect apart from sin, but Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. The human race fell into sin. And we find that the effects of that, with just the passing of some time, yes, it's true there had been hundreds of years which had taken place from chapter 1 when God created man to the time we get to chapter 6. Hundreds of years have passed, but mankind has gotten anything but better. Mankind has gone any direction other than trying to draw closer to God, his creator. In fact, as God looked out upon the world, we find that there was only one man and his family that was even worthy of God's attention, that caught God's attention. Here was one who found grace in his eyes. Everyone else came under that category of the fact that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Verse 5 also says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I have often thought about that verse, and I take the Bible literally. I make no apologies for that. I believe that every word in our Bibles are inspired by God. And when the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to write these words down, I don't think the Lord was just using what we often refer to as an evangelistic term. What do I mean by that? The evangelists, quite often, they are accused of kind of stretching the figures a little bit. You know, you had 12 or 13 people come forward after a service, and you ask the evangelist, oh, the front of the auditorium was filled. That's evangelistically speaking. You know, you try to make it sound like it's just a little bit more than it was there. What am I getting at? There's a word that's used here. It says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You mean every thought? That's what the Bible says. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. What is an imagination of the thought? That's anything, you know, if you imagine something, it's what? You sit down and you start thinking, what about this? And just suppose every imagination that man ever came up with was what? It was evil. That's some of the details that we get as we're just beginning to look at these previous conditions. The only thing that man could come up with was evil. Whether he laid awake at night thinking about it, whether he had, he would sit down at the coffee table at breakfast, looking at his newspaper, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, It just came up. It just always pointed in the wrong. It was evil, as it was in the days of Noah, the Lord said. That's a future time. Verses 11 and 12, we find that it tells us that the earth was corrupt before God. It was wasting. It was deteriorating. Everything, it was not continuing the way God had intended it, the way God had created it. Mankind had corrupted it by his evil deeds. The earth was filled with, here's a key thought, verse 11. The earth was filled with what? Violence. What do you mean? Mankind was not treating each other like best of buddies. They were not getting along civilly. There was violence at every turn. It's once again, the earth was filled with violence. Is that evangelistically speaking? No. That's what sinful man had done to the earth. There was no peace. There was no congeniality, courtesy, kindness to one another. Evidently, it was a dog-eat-dog kind of a world. And only the strongest could survive it, because the world was filled with violence. Verse 12, God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt. The earth was corrupt. The effects of mankind had polluted the earth as far as God was concerned. The earth was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so God told Noah in verse 13, the end is coming. And the reason is the earth is filled with violence through mankind. The earth is filled with violence through flesh, and I'm going to destroy it. And I'm going to destroy all the cause with the earth. I'm going to get rid of all of the instigators once and for all. But as you sit and you listen, perhaps someone is saying, okay, Pastor, that was that, and that was back then. What does that have to do with us today? Let's look thirdly at the present scenario. We think of the description that God gave through Moses here in Genesis chapter 6, and one of the things that seems to jump off of the page this week, certainly, is the fact that it says that the earth was filled with violence. How many days ago now was it that violence broke out? Most recently, where? In the city of Dallas. But Dallas is just one place where we are seeing violence breaking out in our nation. This week, this past week, it was violence in Dallas. Where is it going to be this coming week? It seems that more and more and more in our nation, the good old United States of America, we used to read about it. We used to hear about this sort of thing happening over there in other places. But we are witnessing something happening in our own nation. And on the basis of God's word, we have not seen the end of it yet. You cannot sit down and watch news, whether it's the 7 o'clock morning news or the 6 o'clock evening news, and listen to a whole news broadcast without them highlighting and captioning it breaking news. So many people were murdered overnight. So many homes or businesses were broken into. So many people were raped or whatever. Let's see, how was it described back then? God saw that the wickedness of the earth, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually. Remember, I said last Sunday that the Lord has been exercising my heart in recent days about what's happening in our nation. And this is one of the things that the Spirit of the Lord just put upon my heart as we, in the next few weeks, are going to continue looking. What is happening to our nation? Man seems to be trying to outdo himself with evil in these days. Remember, it said that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Imagination. One of the things that the book of Romans describes in Romans chapter 1, as it talks about a time gone by, giving descriptions of the world some time ago and how they turned its back on God. We're going to be in the coming weeks looking at Romans 1. But listen to this interesting thought. It says they are backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. And in Romans 1:30 it says, inventors of evil things. That's right, straight from the King James. Inventors of evil things. Beloved, that's why we are hearing things now in our face. We are seeing things on the news. We are reading and we shake our heads and we say, we've never heard of anything like this ever before. There's a reason for it. Man is inventing evil. One of those evils is this transgender malarkey. Isn't it interesting that from the dawn of creation, from the beginning of time, that men were men and women were women, and the world went on and functioned and everything until just recently? All of a sudden now, laws are being passed to recognize promote, go along with an invention. Our Creator didn't make any mistakes. You know, in the garden, God created male and female. And you know, there's no crossing back and forth. Men are men and women are women. Man has never had any trouble figuring that out until just the last few months, years. And so now we're hearing about this transgender. We're going to have more of that in coming weeks, but may I suggest to you in Genesis chapter 7 or 6 that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? But Pastor, really, hasn't sin always been sin? Certainly. But what's then what's the difference today in July of 2016? Why are you all hot and bothered? Why are you all excited about this? It's true that sin has always been sin, but beloved, any person that has been observing what has been going on realizes that we are witnessing the deterioration and destruction of the structure and framework of society at breakneck speed. That's what's different. Just recently, steps have been pushed to the forefront. Laws have been passed to attack the basic framework of society. And what is that basic framework? What is the first institution ordained by God? Marriage. And so our Supreme Court passes laws and says that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. Where's that going to get you? Where's that going to get you in the instruction that God gave original man and original woman? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Beloved, families are under attack. The human race is under attack. They are normalizing perversion. And they are passing laws, and they are saying that you and I must recognize it. And you and I must go along with that. Some would say, sounds to me like you've got a good case of the phobia. It's not a good case of the phobia, beloved. It's just a proper understanding of what has always been right and what has always been wrong. We need to pray for those that have bought into this modern malarkey, this lie. Christ died for them. We need to pray to see how to witness to them, how to share with them. They are dead in trespasses and sin. But we ought not to embrace and encourage and go along with the perverted lifestyles. Lord, show us how can we reach them. How can we show them their true condition before God? And let them know that we respect them as a person. We do not respect the kind of life they are living because they have chosen sin. But there is a Christ who gave his life for them on the cross. And they can be saved and they can be set free of the bondage of that perversion through Christ. Well, too many things are happening at a feverish pace for us just to say, well, you know, there's always been sin in the world. No. There's too much happening, too fast. It's on the expressway. It's in the fast lane. And you've had your head in the sand if you haven't been recognizing that. That's significant. But I want us to come back to our fourth point. We've looked at the prediction that was given. We've looked at the previous conditions, and we've briefly given some of the present scenario in our world today. But I want us to close with the fourth point, the proper understanding. The proper understanding. I take you back to Matthew 24 or Luke 17. It doesn't matter which. We're not going to look at them both because they both basically say the same or similar words. And here it is. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In the context of Matthew 24, in the context of Luke chapter 17, the phrase is describing the coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. Let me say that again. That's what Matthew 24 is about. Notice, you see even here, verse 21 of Matthew 24, then shall be great tribulation. Before that, it talked about in the early part of chapter 24, many are going to come and they're going to say, I'm Christ, and they're going to deceive many. There's been deceivers down through the ages, haven't they? You're going to hear wars, rumors of wars. You're going to see these things, but you know what? Don't let that bother you because the end's not come yet. Nation's going to rise against nation. There's going to be kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilences. There's going to be earthquakes. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they're going to deliver the persecution. And what the Lord is describing is the whole church age. These things have been going on. And as we said in verse 21, then shall be that great tribulation. So, having said all that, the Lord said earlier in Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That phrase, the coming of the Son of Man, is a term which is synonymous with the Lord's glorious return when he comes down to this earth to judge and set up his millennial kingdom. That is not a term synonymous with the rapture. The coming of the days of the Son of Man, or the day of the Lord. Those are tribulation terms. Those are the time when our Lord is ruling and reigning and judging on this earth. I want to read a quotation from the Liberty Study Bible. And as I said, this point that we are looking at is one that I want us to make sure we have the proper understanding. The proper understanding as we talk about the days of Noah. And there is a helpful footnote in the King James Study Bible or the Liberty Study Bible, whichever you're using. And I want to read this one called Signs of Christ's Return. Signs are indication that Christ is about to return to earth. Technically, they refer to the revelation of Christ, not the rapture. There are obvious signs during the seven-year tribulation before the revelation, but there are no signs that precede the rapture. These signs, as it was when the earth was filled with violence, that's signs of the tribulation taking place, and he's about to suddenly appear in all of his glory. However, there are conditions that suggest that the rapture will happen soon. No one will ever know the date of Jesus' return until he comes. Still, there are certain things happening in our world to suggest that his return may be very close. These are, number one, Israel's return to the Promised Land, 1948. The obvious acceleration of lawlessness. The increase of apostasy, 1 Timothy 4:1. The socio-religious climate preparing for the one world church. And beloved, it's happening before our eyes. That's why there are so many churches that are saying, We used to separate from so-and-so. There used to be certain things that we thought were important. But you know, it really doesn't matter anymore. We all serve the same God. We all love the same God. Beloved, the book of Revelation talks about in the tribulation, there's going to be a one-world church. And we are moving in that direction. The rapid acceleration of life-threatening conditions, such as potential atomic annihilation, population explosion, pollution that require Christ's return before events run their natural course and terminate the world. Paul listed certain conditions which, though true in every age, appear to be more prevalent today. End of quote. My whole point in this message this morning, and if you don't get anything, I want you to listen now. The conditions predicted as it was in the days of Noah, they have reference to a future event. But the conditions predicted are already present in our world. And that's what I trust the Spirit of God will drive down to our bones and our consciences and our hearts and realize. We don't have any hints. We don't have any signs in answer to the questions at the beginning for the when the rapture is going to be. All these signs, all of these things that we're looking for, those are things that are going to be going on in the days of the tribulation. But they've been going on, you say, for you. That's right. That's right. And they're getting worse, and they're getting more intense. And so when I read, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be the days of the coming of the Son of Man, the thought that strikes me is we have got to be so close to the time when we're going to hear that shout, when that trumpet is going to sound, because the prediction, end of tribulation prediction, the days are just when the Lord comes again, going to catch everybody off guard. Things are going to be going on. And the evil imaginations and the earth filled with violence as it was in Noah's days. We've got it right now. We've got it right now. Hey, are you ready if that shout should sound, that trumpet should sound today? Have you ever put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in a moment we're going to remember what he did to make that provision. He took in his own body your sins and mine. He suffered the consequences for your sin and mine. And he shed his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there could never be forgiveness and cleansing. And that offer is for anyone who has never received him, trusted him, accepted the gift, admitted, repented of your sinful ways, and turned to God and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. I accept. I believe what Jesus did back then was sufficient for my sin. I want him to be my Savior and Lord. Are we giving the message out, beloved? Are we letting other people know? There's not much time left. Shall we close in prayer? We do thank you, Father, for this precious truth. We thank you for the opportunity that was ours to consider your word. And I do pray, Lord, that we would understand that though that Noah term, that even suggests to us we're closer than maybe we had thought we were. I pray, Lord, that we would each one stop and take inventory of our own heart. Do we truly know the Lord as our personal Savior? Are we telling the lost around us, oh Lord, you're coming soon, we believe. We want to be ready. We pray, Lord, that you would be preparing our hearts as we celebrate what you did for us through your death, burial, and resurrection. In your name I pray. Amen. Do we know the